Blog Talk Radio. From New York, and Cynthia.
Yeah. Hello, love. You're back from Liverpool, aren't you, love?
Oh, that was my really bad English accent. So welcome back to this side of the pond, my darling. I know you had a blast because, I've been following all the Facebook posts. But for those of you, we've been off the air for a couple of weeks because Maester was over in jolly old England, in Liverpool.
I had a great time. I really did. It was wonderful. The people of Liverpool, I mean, Cavern City, they took care of their little week, you know, international week. They put it on. And the people there, John Keats, Bill Heckel, Victoria, Shanna, everybody there, Julia Baird, you know, who's John's half-sister. I mean, everybody. We had the great time. You saw so many people. Mark Hudson did a great job with his little crew, his band. You know, he put Errol Slick and Denny Sywell, one of my favorite, Wings, from Wings. And and then, they had Joey Mullen from Badfinger also in the band, as well as Gary Van Syk, who from Elephant's Memory. And, he put a little band together. They were rehearsing, 18 songs or something like that in a matter of, it's hours, and they were all trying to get it together.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I was very happy to be there. And then Shannon was there, the artist, Shannon. You know, it's terrible. I got there and I could feel, from the plane, you could feel the cold coming on, And I took stuff as fast as I could to get it out of my system. Well, poor Shannon got it. She felt horrible. Her partner, Jen, didn't feel good. And it was like one was catching it, passing it on, it just kept going. I saw Peter Asher, I saw Patty Boyd, we were all being interviewed by Mark Lewison, who is obviously an author of a lot of you who are, music buffs, because he's authored a lot of books, but he's also, his last book called Tune In, which was the Beatles, what was it, taken from 1960 to 63 or somewhere in that thereabouts, and that took years of research, and the next one should come out in 2020, it's one of those.
Wow.
And
he's a guy that's
a historian.
Really true to fact. Yes.
Right.
He's a historian.
He's
There's a difference.
It, right. So he's a historian. He's followed. That's why it's taken so long. He told me, because you have the abridged version, which is 800 something. He goes, the unabridged is over 1,000 pages.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's in the Smithsonian. And It was fabulous. It was we had a great time. I know Bob Grimm was there, and he was he has a revised edition of Lennon in New York type of thing, and so he was there, and it was great because Mark really has it down, and it's good to be able to talk to somebody or questions coming at me that were. That he knew without me having to say, that isn't the way it happened, because he's done the research on so much, this may take him till 2020 something, it's really a long time.
And that's something that you've kind of struggled with, seems to be a lot lately, maybe because of all these big anniversaries, is people who claim they were there or claim knowledge of situations where you were there and you absolutely know that's not the way it happened,
Right.
And that's, you can't just, that's hard to just sit back. It's not like they're talking about, well, she was wearing black shoes. No, she was wearing red shoes. I mean, they're talking about personal things, you know.
I really had people coming up to me and say, I met you and so-and-so with John. Don't you remember? You know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
You were that lady with the curly hair. Yeah, I remember
yeah.
you. Oh,
yeah, no,
gosh.
So those type of things. They said, you know, I was there, you know, I brought you bagels or I brought you something. And, you know, and I apologize to everybody who I couldn't remember. I mean, because it's tough because I've met so many people. And everybody, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I spent 2.5 hours signing autographs.
Wow.
And yeah. And then I saw, Donovan. Donovan did a thing called Shamrock. He wanted to do a little thing called Shamrock, which was playing during the time because we were talking about the Beatles in India, and even Paul Saltzman was there who does photographs of the Beatles in India, you know, it's crazy. It's just everybody was there, hadn't seen a few people in a little bit, and it was nice to do catch up with everyone. And I love the city of Liverpool. I feel at
home.
Now,
Liverpool is a port town, right? It's on the
ocean?
Yes, it
is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's right by the Mersey, and that's why where John and I lived, we faced a river, and he loved it because he could just see the water go by and the whole thing. And it was great. I saw friends that they came to visit, my friends Manny and Joe from Seattle via Mexico. They came to see me. They made a stop in. I saw a friend of mine, Dean Harmeyer, with Heritage Auction. He stopped in because he came in from Germany, from Hamburg, because he's doing an auction on the first contract ever signed by the Beatles in Germany. You know,
oh, wow.
In Germany. Yeah, he has a whole thing coming up. So it was kind of funny to see a lot of my American contingencies there as well. And later, after that whole thing, and I saw a lot of music, and it was great. And of course, my friend Vera and Gordon, and Vera introduced me to Len Gary, who is one of the original members of the Quarrymen. And I met a couple of the Quarrymen before, so it was great to see them again. And then that was John's first band, like when he was like, what, 14, you know, something like that. I hung out with Julia Baird, and we had a great conversation, who's John's half-sister. And then, of course, good old Frida, you know.
Frida.
Frida. She was just in Nashville.
Nan saw her.
I'll be seeing Frida again for my birthday here in New York. But we went out a couple of times and it was great. We went to her favorite Italian place. It was great. We had lasagna. I had lasagna 2 nights in a row. It was delicious. And the place was more. If you go
you had
on my
lasagna in Liverpool and it was delicious.
Yeah.
That just doesn't sound right.
Well, you know
it
what it is. It's the real Italians that have come up because you could hear they're the true Italians that and it looks like the old, you know, Disney where, you know, that tablecloth with, you know, Lady and the Tramp, you know, the whole checkered thing. I really had a great time, and if anybody, they can go on my blog, on my website. But then, and, you know, I talk about it. And then the next one will be London, which I will then, after that, go down to London. I spent a week in London. And it was great. I was on the train. Peter Asher was also on the same train with me as Earl Slick. We all ended up taking the same train going down to London. And it was so much fun in London. I went to the Groucho
Club. Well, that's your old
club.
Stomping grounds. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
it is.
Yeah.
But here it is. I go to this place called the Groucho Club. They were the first one to have, like, your own private club with, you know, people of your in the same field or whatever. And I was sitting under a painting of Groucho, And I started to laugh because I looked around the room and I thought to myself, I'm probably the only one in this room that's actually met this man years ago with John. You know, so it was kind of weird. So it was just one of those. And then, you know, being in London, it was great because then my friend Mark Preston comes over. My friend Bruce was also over. Who else was in London? I felt like another American group. And we had so much fun. I introduced my friend Billy, who does my website, Billy Temple, and I introduced her to my other Scorpio friend, Louise DeVille Morel. They're both in the arts, and they both, you know, creative designer, producer, you know, all sorts of things, and they were so similar. Mm-hmm. And I went with my friend Bruce, and we went to see. Jerry Lee Lewis's. This is his final tour. His 80th final tour.
Yeah, you guys. Well, yeah, you went backstage, right?
Yes, I was backstage. Ringo was there. Olivia was there. I think the one of the most handsome men I haven't seen in a long time was Robert Plant. Was there? I didn't realize how tall this man was.
How did he look?
He looks good.
How did Robert Plant?
Yeah, he looks good.
He can be a little rough.
I think, you know what it is? I think when you see him on pictures, yes, it's a little rough. In person, it's a much softer.
Okay.
And his hair, he's tall, he has a presence, you know, and he looked great. And then we all sang Happy Birthday. We were on stage and we sang Happy Birthday to Jerry Lee at 80. I have a picture that I took of him at 75. So here we are at 80. So I took some photos, and that will go up this week on my blog. And it was so much fun. I spent a lot of time, like I said, in the Groucho Club. I used my membership well this time. But one of my favorite things was I got a chance to eat the Chinese food in London, which I do like. It's a little different than the ones in New York. So each city has their own little – I had some Chinese in Liverpool that's different from London – and I had a great time. It was just wonderful. And I have to thank Alan for loaning me the corporate apartment so that I could stay there. You could have come over. It was great. Century located.
I need a vacay.
You could have gone.
Yeah, you know, I my daughter's back with me for a bit, and she brought her two little evil troll dogs with her, and they have tunneled out, dug out, hopped over. You know, I have a huge dog run behind my house, and it now looks like a maximum security prison. That's how much fencing I've stacked on top of fencing, okay, to keep them in. Now they're going under it.
Oh, my goodness. No, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so while you were world hopping and rubbing elbows with all your famous peeps, I was back here chasing troll dogs, and I'm missing a horse. One of my horses.
Oh, no.
No. Yeah. And it's my old horse, Black Gold, and he's like 30,000 years old, so there's a very good possibility that he just laid down someplace and died. But, you know, I have like almost 300 acres, so.
Well, go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's a bit scary.
So that's
been my
fun time, May, okay? Yeah. But you know what? I love the pictures that you posted on Facebook. They were fabulous. But now I'm going to ask you some down and dirty questions about Liverpool. I'm curious.
Okay. All right.
Does Liverpool embrace the Beatles, association?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. They really made Liverpool. The boys brought back, it's a cottage industry there. I mean, everything is Beatles, basically. They've got, they're open for all different types of music, but everything. And you go there, and I was over, and I had some tea over at the Hard Day's Night Hotel. I met up with some of the people that run it, you know, Christine and all of a sudden I can't think of her name. This is Marion, and they're the managers. And I had some tea and we were talking. This is the only Beatles-themed hotel in the world. That's complete.
And Shannon did a lot of their paintings,
yes,
right?
Doesn't all the paintings that are in there. And they just got new owners. So I know that she was trying to sort things out over in that neck of the woods. Because each room is an original painting that was done by her. And so it is a great place to have high tea. The people are friendly. Next door is I'll tell you where they're located. The hotel I stayed at was the Aloft. Now, this is how crazy. Everybody there is so wonderful that the when I went to the Aloft, because I was not at the Hard Days Now. I was at the Aloft, which is a new hotel that's like the W or the Starwood or any of those that, you know.
Right.
The day I arrived was kind of frightening because I looked up and the building used to be an insurance building. So they had the ticker tape, you know, where you could look at all the stocks that went by. Well, the day that I arrived, I looked up and not one stock was in the green. They were all dead. That was the day. That frightened the hell out of me because you say, oh, my God, did we just go into a whole crash? But then it started like the next day. That was the day that, you know, the Chinese and whatever was going on. I never seen it. I mean, every stock was in the red. And I just looked at it and I stood there with my mouth open. I said, I can't believe I'm seeing this. And then, of course, it started to come back. It was a beautiful hotel, very modern, lovely. I had a great view of the tops. You know, the buildings over Liverpool. It was beautiful. And then it was great. I'm having wonderful weather up in Liverpool. So Billy calls me up and she says, how's the weather? It must be horrible. I said, why? She goes, it's torrential rain here in London. I said, actually, it's beautiful up here and it's warm. And she says, what? I said, yes. So it was opposite. And when she came up to spend a couple of days with me up there, she said, oh, my goodness, it's so totally different. So I brought the sunshine even back down to London.
There you go.
London is great, but Liverpool has a different. It's like the north and south. You know that
exactly.
Feeling of
well, you know,
southern
it's funny
hospitality.
Because I think people think now. I'm just generalizing here because England and Great Britain and because it's just a big island. I think people think London is a port city. You know, just but it's not right. London's inland, isn't it?
London's in the south. It's south. And when you look at it, you know, there's going north is Liverpool near Manchester, up in that direction. And then south and inland is London. I mean, you have to travel to get to the coastline. Where Liverpool, there are ferries that will take you over to Dublin. They're on the same level as Dublin, Ireland. So could you imagine? So it's an overnighter, but there—that's the seaport. You don't have to go. You're right at the sea.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
My geography lesson. Well, you know, it. Now, when you were in London, here's a question, not Beatle related. When you were in London, did you notice a difference in the security has had to be tightened so much? Did you notice a difference in police presence?
There were definitely police presence, more so. Certain places were barricaded. You know, you notice a bit of that. And, you know, it's different. I remember from years ago when I lived there. So I could see it's beefed up. Let's put it that way. It's a little more where you can't. Like, for instance, I saw the American consulate, you know, the U.S. Embassy, you know, it's like so barricaded, you know, men standing there with machine guns right at your gate, you know, and you go, okay. So, you know, there's a lot of little things that you see, and but life goes on, and there is more life in Soho than it used to be. You know, it used to be after like 10 o'clock at night you saw nothing. But in Soho there's a lot more life. From Monday to Saturday it's buzzing. You can't it's like any place in the world, forget about the car, you can't even drive. I mean, there's no place that you can even get down the street. That's how bad it is. It's just packed chock-a-block, as they would say. I did notice, now here's the thing, I took a black taxi from Soho to where I was staying in near Paddington. And the black cab, an ordinary cab on the street, you take it, there was £20. Okay? I took, when I told my friends that's how much it cost me, they said, no, 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 we'll settle up, we're going to call you for Uber. They have Uber there, okay?
They have Uber there too. Oh, that's funny.
Yes. Well, it cost me £8.50. The same ride.
Wow.
So
how much is a pound roughly equivalent to dollar?
Now it's about $1.52, $1.53, somewhere in that vicinity. So it's like 50 cents, roughly a little more than 50 cents more. So if you pick
uh-huh.
up something and it says a pound, you know, all they do is remove the dollar sign, put the pound sign up, and you're paying 50% more. But the thing, one of my favorite things. So you can imagine about the taxi. So it cost me £20.
Okay,
as
so that's like
£8.50.
$30, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
American. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
But I'm
that's
saying,
a little crazy.
But even so, £8.50. Just think of it as if it was in dollars. So if it's 20, but my ride by Uber was £8.50. There's a £12 difference here.
Yeah.
We're not talking like a pound or two.
Well, you know, I think that's the problem here too with Uber is that in these big cities, the taxi drivers are all really ticked off because they have to pay huge amounts of money for their licenses and
the
Uber drivers.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
But you know what? But here's the other thing too. In certain parts of the city, a lot of those cabs won't go into other parts
mm-hmm.
where the Uber will, because I found out that because I don't have a an account. So my girlfriend was telling me, and if you have an account for Uber here, it works over there too. It works worldwide.
Wow.
So, yeah. How's that? So what
that's
happens
good
is...
That's good to know.
It is good to know. And I thought that's a good thing. They don't... You put in your address and somebody comes and gets you. And I looked at it in London and I said, oh, I looked at... you get the guy's face... you get the license, and you get the car. So you know you're not getting into anybody's wrong car, you know?
Right.
You get all the pertinent information, and then you tell them where you're going, and then they put it on the meter.
Well, I've only taken one Uber ride, but I have to tell you, and it was a young woman driving, and she was quite lovely, and her car was nice, and she had mints. And it was like, okay, someone's
and
feeding
you know,
me
a
candy.
Lot of, yeah, and you know what? If the black cabs or whatever else was as good as that, then, you know, we'd be taking that too. But I understand about the Madub, but at the same time, not everything, you know, goes the right way. You know, they don't take you to places that you want to go.
Right. It's almost kind of like another version of a car service is what it is, you know, only not as expensive. Yeah.
And not only that, you can actually see who you're getting. You're not just getting anybody random off the street. You know, because they showed your face. And I said, the one guy said, I said, you look better in person than your photo. I said, now, one of my favorite places to go to also in England was my Poundland or you know, Poundland and something similar to it. It's like the dollar store. Oh, I went crazy in there,
May.
Too.
You and your... you. Okay, anybody listening that needs advice on gadgets or where to go to browse or shop needs to hit you up, okay? Because you get yourself into these places and you always find, like, great deals.
I love it. And, you know, they should have me as a spokesperson for half of these places. I guess it's great. I you know... I'm good at this, but I tell you, this was a fabulous trip. Then you come back and you get hit with reality of all the bills, the mortgage payments, the whole thing, and then you go, oh, yes, I forgot. This is what I have to do. But you know what? I want to thank everybody over there, over at the UK, both London and especially Liverpool. Everybody was terrific. It was great to see everyone. There's nothing I can say except I had a wonderful, wonderful time. I always love going to Liverpool. It's one of my favorite places. I tell people that. You'll see that it's a different, the people are different. You know, it's like I said, it's like equivalent to our Southern hospitality in America.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I have to say, May, and I learned this from you and also from doing the Beatle Fest here with Nancy Lee Andrews. Beatle fans are more than fans. They consider the Beatles almost part of their family, their history. You
yes.
know, it's part of them. It's like DNA.
I know when I was talking to Billy, who, like I said, designed my website, and, you know, she worked for McCartney. She worked for MPL for a couple of years. And she's always been on the artist side, so she had never seen what it was like to be, quote, you know, and the fans coming at. And she said, to her, it was like, wow. It was a little overwhelming for her to hang with me and, you know, and see all of this. She didn't know what to make of it. So she was a little like, oh, okay, but you know, it's great.
Funny.
And of course, I went to my favorite first couple of days. My favorite shop, Primark. I say that, and she always goes, "Don't say that." I love my Primark. That's my favorite shopping place. It's great. I love it. I can't wait. I would love to go back. You know, I got a lovely note from everybody at Cavern City that people were writing in saying how much they enjoyed. They love my talk, and I've gotten a lot of feedback off my Facebook site. And you know what? Thank you, everyone. It was great meeting a lot of people. Peter Dix interviewed me, which we couldn't. And we did a great interview, and I did a lot. Worked with, it was good. The Beatles story people, a lot of people met me for over the years. It's good fun. You should come
well,
with me.
You know what? It's well, hey, like I said, if this Cinderella didn't have to buy her own glass slippers, she would have been there in a heartbeat. I played Powerball that week, girl. It just didn't work.
Oh.
But I one thing I will say, and that is this. The people that are Beatles fans, especially John Lennon fans, are true blue. And,
yes.
You know, for you to share that part of your life, which was very personal, and to want to be willing to put yourself in a situation where people will grill you about it or talk to you about it is, you know, hats off to you. Cheerio! You know, I mean, hey, listen, I'm never going to win any awards for my accents. But, you know, before we sign out, we were supposed to have Love's co-founder, lead guitarist, Johnny Eccles. He was coming back
yes.
on the show, but he very graciously bowed to you, Miss May, and he's coming on next week. Gary Raychuk, our agent, had him reschedule so that we could talk to you about Liverpool because it was such an adventure for you, and you haven't done one of those in a long time.
No, I hadn't done the Cavern City International Beatles Week since like 1980s.
Okay.
Like 84. So, right in the early days, I haven't done one. So this was.
Now will you go again? Would you do it again?
Oh yeah, I think they're asking me to come back and you know, I was talking to Bill Heckel and he says, "May, you know," and it was great. I saw Rogue, who is Rogue Best, you know, Pete Best's younger brother, and you know we're all like one big family. I'm like one of the family members over there.
I'm gonna have to have my Beatles jar. I'm gonna put it out and I'm gonna make everybody that comes into my house empty their change into it as my fund.
Yeah. I like that. I figured if we could put a jar out there and say, if everybody give me 2 pennies, oh, man, we could,
there you go.
We could clean up.
There
you know?
Go. All right.
So.
Well, listen, it was great. It's great to have you back. It's great to catch
Thank
up.
You.
You know, if you're
yes.
bored and you want to hustle on down and help me go look for my horse, you're more
yeah.
than welcome.
Okay. Okay. My birthday's
Not?
Coming up. We're going to have a good time.
Oh, that's right. You're having
you're
a soiree, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a soiree. I'll have it on my birthday's on the 24th of October. I'm going to go see the Fab Four that night, and then the 25th I'll have my birthday.
Your party. Yeah.
My party. So think about
Your
it.
Party.
We're down to the
I
fourth,
will.
Last 40 seconds here.
We are.
Everyone,
we are.
Thank you. I had a great time. Thank you for letting
that
me
That was my
speak
girl,
about
May
it.
Pang. She's back. She's back. We're back. And we'll see you folks next week on
yes.
Dinner Specials with May Pang and Cynthia Nielsen. Have a great week, everybody.